Marketing for a nonprofit isn't about selling. It's about messaging. It's how we stay connected with our donors, our volunteers, and the people we serve. It's how we invite new people to become part of our mission. But sometimes it can feel never ending. There's always another post to write, another story to tell, another update to share. And while I work hard to do all things marketing, there are definitely parts I dread, like creating and scheduling content for social media, or remembering how many times I need to talk about something so people actually hear it. That's where Engie comes in. Engie feels like a marketing partner who really gets me. It helps me figure out what to say, when to say it, and how to engage my audience in a way that feels true to my brand. It even helps me write everything in my voice and puts it all together in one big calendar so I can see how it's all going to play out. I can track what's working, plan what's next, and actually feel confident about my marketing. And I love the extras, like the monthly group coaching calls with experts, the simple social media scheduler, and the AI blog writer that makes creating content so much easier. So if you're ready for marketing to finally make sense, check out the link in the show notes. Trust me, you're going to love it. One of my favorite tools I use for my business, and one that I think all nonprofits can use, is Flowdesk. They make it so easy to send out mass emails. It takes me just a few minutes, and I can send out as many as I want. Why? Because Flowdesk only uses flat pricing. That means the same fee no matter how many subscribers you have or how many emails you send. Not only that, but they have the most beautiful and easy to use templates to use when creating an email. It's no longer stressful or time consuming. It also has amazing other tools like workflows and checkout for selling products, but that's a whole other podcast episode. In the meantime, go to my show notes for my link and start your free trial to check it out. Want to get half off for a full year? Make sure to use my link. Yes, that's a full year at half off. Go check it out now. So how many volunteers do you have and how often do you guys send letters to people?
We currently have about 850 youth volunteers, all under the age of 20. And yeah, so we actually ship to partnering oncology centers, mainly through Texas, but also in other parts of the U.S. We currently are partnered with friends at Dana-Farber, and we ship out to Boston because of that. We also ship out to other oncology centers through our various different chapters located in different states.
Welcome to the Nonprofit Nook, the podcast for nonprofit leaders, board members, and community changemakers who want to build stronger, smarter organizations. I'm your host, Wendy Kidd, a longtime business owner and nonprofit leader, and I'm here to bring you real talk, real tools, and real stories to help you thrive in the nonprofit world. I'll be talking with local nonprofit leaders, community changemakers, and experts in everything from board development to fundraising and digital tools, sharing real stories and simple strategies you can actually use. Because running a nonprofit is hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Let's get started. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Nonprofit Nook. I am here today with Ananya Nagendra, founder and CEO of the Letters of Light Foundation, a nonprofit supporting cancer patients with encouragement, resources, and access to mental health care. Inspired by her mother's chemotherapy journey, Ananya saw how many patients face treatment without support. At just 15 years old, she launched Letters of Light by connecting students with patients through handwritten letters of encouragement. In just a few years, the organization has expanded to offer preventive health workshops for young people and the Books of Light program, which provides newly diagnosed patients in minority communities with resources on mental wellness, diet, and support during treatment. Ananya's leadership has been recognized by Riley's Way, Chipotle, Volunteer McKinney, and even the Mayor of Dallas, all before she turned 20. Please welcome Ananya.
Thank you so much for having me on here, Wendy.
I'm so glad to have you. You are so impressive at doing all of that before the age of 20. I mean, I know I did not do nearly as many impressive things before I turned 20. And how much thought you have put into this and how much care you have put into this has really impressed me. So I was really excited when you reached out to be on the podcast because I really want people to know more about it because it's really cool.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit more about how you got this started and when.
Yeah, so we officially launched Letters of Light as a program for high school students as a small club at my high school in September 2023. And the catalyst for starting Letters of Light, which was, as you mentioned, largely my mom's journey with chemotherapy. After I lost her to metastatic breast cancer, I realized that, oh, I really need to do something so I can help other people who are in similar situations be able to support these cancer patients, as mental health care is truly underemphasized in cancer care, and we often think about the physical aspects of helping cancer patients with either driving them to appointments, giving them meals, etc. But a lot of these patients might not have any support at all as they go through chemotherapy or other forms of treatment. So we really try to bridge that gap and offer them the support that they might not have otherwise.
I am so impressed by that. I mean, you really took a tragedy in your own life and turned it around to serve others. And that's, I mean, that just kind of makes me want to cry every time I think about it. Like, that's amazing that you're willing to do that for others, even though your mom's not still with you. So kudos to you, girl. Like, you're
Thank
awesome.
You.
I love that you've recognized this gap in the industry about mental health. I honestly, I've had several family members have cancer, but you're right. I've never had anybody offer any kind of services to help them with the mental support that's needed. And quite frequently, you can't even go with them into treatment rooms. You can't really be there when they're going through, especially like radiation therapy or anything like that. So I think you've found that sneaky way to get into the room with them because they could bring that letter with them. That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's what we truly try to emphasize from the start with our volunteers, that we want to be a source of encouragement and a source of support for them. And we want the letters to serve as a talisman for them to have during treatment. And it's something that they should look forward to almost, so that way the treatment isn't as burdening on their mental health and doesn't cause as much stress. So that's what we founded Letters of Light to do, and I am so excited to be able to do this with so many wonderful youth volunteers.
So how many volunteers do you have, and how often do you guys send letters to people?
We currently have about 850 youth volunteers, all under the age of 20. And yeah, so we actually ship to partnering oncology centers, mainly through Texas, but also in other parts of the U.S. We currently are partnered with friends at Dana-Farber, and we ship out to Boston because of that. We also ship out to other oncology centers through our various different chapters located in different states. And we also have a partnership with Texas Oncology Foundation, where we're currently writing letters for their Survive and Thrive conference this November.
Wow, that's really cool. How do you kind of stay in touch with what the patients need? Obviously, the letters are great, but do you get any kind of feedback from the facilities or the patients themselves? How do you keep in touch?
Yeah, so with all of our partnering oncology centers, what we do is we connect with their social worker, and they're our main point of contact, as they closely work with different support systems and offering different resources for the patients. When I first started this organization, I realized that the best way to go about partnerships is to be in touch with the social worker at the center, or multiple social workers there. So what we do is, after we send out each packet of letters, or if we send over care packages, whatever we end up doing, we have a meeting with the social worker after each donation to be able to understand, oh, is there anything else we could have facilitated? How did this go? Do we need to send more letters next time? Do we need to cater it to a specific group of people who might be in stage four? Or we have even sent it to hospice care centers before. So we really try to work with the social workers to curate the letters towards their center. And we also have themes for every month for our youth volunteers, where we teach them about which Cancer Awareness Month that is, and we explain how exactly preventative healthcare works for that specific cancer in that month. And through going through that, we're actually able to curate the letters more. And also, a major part of this organization that I feel like might not pop up as openly, because we mainly talk about encouraging patients, but a huge part of what we do is make sure that the youth know early on how they're able to get involved in preventive healthcare and get that for themselves and get detected early if anything's happening. That's really something that I have truly been wanting to do from the beginning of Letters of Light. And I'm so grateful we can have these sessions where we just help them gain the knowledge, not only about how to be a more empathetic person through supporting cancer patients, but also so that they have all the resources to take charge of their own health early on.
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that. That is so amazing. I just keep saying the word amazing, but seriously,
Thank
that's
you.
just really kind of a dual purpose. And I had no idea that you were having so much education for the volunteers and how you were being so intentional about that. I think that's why I'm so
Thank you.
impressed, is it's so intentional on every step of what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
So I'm sure you get feedback from your social workers and you hear stories. Tell me one of your favorite success stories.
Yeah, so I have mentioned this story before at this conference I spoke at, but one quote that truly stuck with me and I sort of think encapsulates what we do is from the head of nursing at Salmon's Cancer Center in Dallas. So, Miss Loretta Mergerson, she made a comment that these letters serve as a source of not only encouragement, but excitement for the patients to look forward to every time they come to the appointments that they often dread and often find so hard to even walk into. And already having a lot of physical stress on their bodies, a lot of these patients truly struggle to find the courage to keep going through with their treatments. And the nursing staff at Salmon's expressed this and how the letters are something that a lot of patients ask about, look forward to, and even the patients from many different centers have written back to us expressing that they love the organization, and some of the patients even end up donating to the organization, which is just incredibly sweet of them.
Wow, that's fantastic. So I'm sure you have a lot to do in this role. So what's the favorite part of what you do?
That's going to be a hard one. I truly enjoy everything from the admin work to me presenting for preventive healthcare sessions, but I think my favorite has got to be talking to the social workers. And the reason I think that is because obviously me being in high school still, when I first started this organization, I knew nothing about oncology and social work. And everything that I learned is from my amazing board members, as well as the partnering oncology centers where I am in touch with their social workers. And getting to talk to these social workers, I have truly gained so much knowledge about different aspects of mental health care and oncology that I wouldn't even have thought of otherwise. And they make very interesting points about how we're able to expand letters of light and how, with our letters, we can have different variations in terms of which youth we get involved. Like, for example, certain events we have high schoolers, certain events we have elementary schoolers, even. And whenever I talk to social workers, I always get so many new inspirations on how we can, oh, do this, and then we're able to expand it to another idea. And it's just wonderful to be able to express my new plans for the organization, and they just add in great points.
That is really fantastic that they trust you and give you that feedback, and you guys can work with them on such a great level. Social work has got to be so hard, and I feel for them because they're on the front line, but I love that they trust and work with you so well on what is needed for their patients. That's really needed. So I appreciate that y'all have that communication. What do you wish people understood about your organization or, the patients? Like, what's kind of the number one thing you feel like people don't get?
I think the biggest thing that people largely underemphasize in mental health care is the fact that a lot of these patients, when they're going through chemo, while you're able to actively give them the support through volunteering in a way where you're able to physically support them with either driving them to appointments or, as I mentioned, like giving out meals or just doing different things for them, I think to a certain extent, mental health care for cancer care still happens to be very underfunded and also very underemphasized because a lot of people view it as, oh, if you're able to help them in some physical manner or just able to donate something and help them in a monetary way, you're able to sort of cure any stress that they might have as they're going through treatment or support them to the extent where they'll feel encouraged or feel supported through that manner. And while that is true, I think mental health support is absolutely such a big deal in cancer care, especially because this is one thing that my mom really instilled in me, which is largely rooted in the organization. And it's about how mental health care and cancer care is as much a battle as physical health when you're facing cancer. And so with that in mind, I just keep emphasizing how much support is necessary. And while we're high schoolers and we even have elementary school volunteers, as I mentioned, it's hard for us to be able to actively go to these patients and help them and sit with them and talk to them. So I founded Letters of Light with the intention that we, as in our age, should be able to do as much as we can to help these patients. And with that goal, I thought of letters being the best way to go about that, as you're able to actually connect with them and just keep the letters lighthearted and make sure that they have just a fun time reading it. So that's sort of why I started this.
I hope that you continue doing that, because I think probably part of what you face is a little bit of age bias, right? Like, what could these kids do? But you have proven these kids can do a lot. They can do a lot, and they don't actually have to go somewhere to do it. They can provide that help from afar. And I don't think people realize how much of a resource that is, that you're harnessing with your organization. And I don't think they give those generations the credit necessarily that they deserve. So I want to give you full kudos, because that's not something that everybody would do. And I appreciate the fact that you're doing it. Now tell me a little bit more about the Books of Light program, because I know that's something newer that you've started.
Books of Light, we're currently starting up the program with just a few of our oncology centers that we're partnering with, mm-hmm. to be able to offer them books that the patients request that they'd like to read during their chemotherapy appointments, that they can also return through a small library system, but also books that newly diagnosed patients have in terms of diet planning while going through different forms of treatment. So, and also books on mental health care as well when they're going through treatment. So the two parts that I mentioned later on are about specifically for newly diagnosed patients. So they sort of have almost care guides to keep with them and just sort of give them a little bit of comfort if they ever feel like they might be stressed about not knowing enough information about their newly diagnosed situation. So through Books of Light, we want to be able to offer, especially underfunded oncology centers, these resources. So through a small library system, almost with the bookcases set up there, we're able to give these patients these books that they can freely borrow and return at any point.
I love reading myself, so I would love that if my doctor's office had that information that I could take home for free and read and learn more about. Do your doctor's offices participate in selecting what books you put there?
So we do both, actually. With some of our centers, we actually work with them to pick the titles specifically and also the number of books that we should order for their center based on the size of the center, etc. Sorry, side note, I'm going to sidetrack a bit. But one major thing that I was shocked to learn is that every oncology center has very, very different systems in place for how they manage patient interactions with nonprofits and what exactly they're looking for in terms of what the nonprofit does and how they can connect to the nonprofit. So making these personalized plans really helps us as well learn more about oncology social work in general. And what we end up doing is, since so many of our oncology centers are in varying sizes and have different requirements, we try to either choose the titles with them, or we also have this Google Forms that patients can fill out anonymously to send in their book requests, which we try to accommodate as much as possible with our funding.
That's fantastic. This just gets better and better. Just love what you're doing. My mother has a doctor, an oncologist that we see once a year to check her numbers to see if she has cancer. It's a blood cancer that her family has. And fortunately, she's never had it, knock on wood. But every time we go, I'm always looking around to see, you know, what they do for their patients and that kind of a thing. And after you and I had talked last time, I saw your business card at his office, and I was like, this is so cool. I know her.
Yeah, when you told me that, I was so happy and so excited about it.
Yeah, you guys have just grown and grown and grown. It's really amazing. So how can other people get involved? How can people volunteer or donate? Give us all the details.
Yeah, so right now what we do is we have chapters at different high schools or elementary schools or middle schools where either we have student volunteers who are leading the chapters, or we partner with schools where the counseling staff at the schools run the Letters of Light chapters, and we speak with them about what exactly they want to do with their specific chapter and how we could best help them. The best way to get involved with us right now is, always you can mail over letters to our location that should be on our website about how you can also send in care packages, and their instructions on that as well. And for letters, we follow our letter guidelines, which are a set of essentially rules for our letters that we follow for every single one that gets audited to make sure that we're just meeting the standards on how we're best able to support the patients with the letters we write. And also going along with donating, you can always donate through our portal. Since we are a 501c3 nonprofit, donations are much appreciated. When we first started this organization, one big thing that I want to emphasize is that because we're all teenagers who run this organization, I was scared about not being able to get enough funding to be able to make care packages or be able to donate these books. So I wanted to start out with letters as they are quite effective and they're just amazing to be able to connect with the patients with, but also they're very cost friendly. So we realized that it's a great way for us to get started. But now through different grants and through fundraising, we have gotten the opportunity to be able to expand Book Supply and also have care package donations, which I'm so excited and thrilled about. And yeah, so I think the most popular thing that our volunteers tend to want to do is either donate letters or they make care packages themselves and they end up donating those. So the best way to get involved is through writing letters and sending them to us.
That is fantastic. And if somebody wants to bring a chapter to their school, do they just reach out to your organization? How does that work?
So on our website, we actually have a form that we have linked our site to. And through that, you're able to start a chapter and reach out to us. And we email them back with sort of a toolkit on how chapters are run for Letters of Light. And we work with them one-on-one, have a meeting to onboard them to our organization. And they're able to work with us in terms of fundraising, as well as being able to sort of tweak our traditional program to be able to fit it better with their city, their school, etc.
Do you have any like fundraiser events or any other kind of events that people can attend and participate in?
Not right now. I would love to have some sort of Books of Light specific fundraiser, potentially this year or next year. But as of right now, we really just try to keep it for the youth within high schools and beyond.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So how can people find out more about your organization? How can they stay in touch?
The best way is either through our Instagram, which we constantly keep updating. It's at Join Letters of Light, as well as our website, lettersoflight.org.
Love it. This is greatness. Thank you so much, Ananya. I really appreciate you spending time with me today. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you want to make sure people know?
Nothing specific, but I just like to say, if you have a passion that you just want to be involved in and you have something that you see that needs change, just don't get involved in it. Your age doesn't matter. Your skill set doesn't matter. If you have passion for something, you'll definitely be able to achieve greatness in it.
That's a great one. Absolutely. Because if people will just step outside of the little world and join others who have that same passion, you're going to find so much rewarding for you and for your community. Thank you again for joining me today. And everybody, I hope you had a good time meeting Miss Ananya and learning all about her organization. And we'll see you next time on the Nonprofit Nook. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Nook. We're building better nonprofits together. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with other nonprofit leaders who need support. Follow the Nonprofit Nook on social media and sign up for our email list for extra tips and updates. You can also visit thenonprofitnook.com to see the show notes and leave a comment telling me what topics you want next. Your feedback shapes the show. See you next time.